Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and just the privilege of being in church on a Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 6, as we continue our study on the life of Gideon. And there's been so many biblical principles that we have learned from the life of Gideon. I believe that's why God has preserved this in our Bible for us, is so we not only can learn of the historical truths of the story and the history of this, but we can learn of these biblical principles because the Bible is more than just a history book, although it's the most accurate history book that you'll ever read. It's more than just a science book, although it's the most scientific book that you'll ever read. And it is the very words of God. And so as the words of God, he's preserved it, every word, just the way that he wants us to be able to read it and study it. And in the Old Testament especially, we learn of these biblical principles that are the same. They're timeless, that they will always be truth. And as we learn these biblical principles, then we can apply them to our lives today or whatever dispensation people lived in, they could apply those very same principles to their life. And so I trust that we are receiving some of these truths and make an application to our own lives. Last week, we saw the impact of obedience to God. We have to be obedient, and as we are obedient, you never know how it's going to impact those around us. Gideon was obedient to do exactly what God told him to do, and that changed everything in Israel. It changed his father's house to where his father now is against the worship of Baal because of Gideon's stand against the worship of Baal. And he's now taking up for his son against the men of the city. And we've seen that, just never know, just the impact of obedience to God and how that it can impact families and friends and communities and even our world. Tonight, we're looking here at chapter 6. We're going to be reading verse 30 down to verse 35 because not ready to get into the next part. The next lesson is the fleece that Gideon puts out. But I think there's more to be able to glean from the verses that we're going to be reading tonight. We're going to be reading verse 30 down to verse 35. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read this part. And the emphasis tonight, as we'll read this, just to give you a little insight into it as we read, is God's children of all ages need to learn to unite and fight against the real enemy. It's sad when God's children are fighting one another thinking they're the enemy. That happens in churches. That's why you have church splits. That happens in families. Can I tell you, no Christian is your enemy. Okay? Now, they might be yielding to sin that you cannot condone or support, but they're not your enemy. And eventually what we need to do is encourage all believers to be unified under the teachings of Christ to fight the real enemy. And we find this is a principle here that we see in the life of Gideon. And so Gideon chapter 6 and verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Gideon's father, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, Baal, let him be put to death, while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was also gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of being in church and the privilege we have to have your word to study and to learn from. I pray tonight, God, that you would help us to put all things out of our hearts and our minds and just focus on this passage of scripture and the truth of this that you would have each one of us to receive. Bless in the study of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Can I tell you that Gideon took the stand that every child of God's needs to take? Get rid of Baal. Say, well, we don't have Baal worship. We have a type of Baal worship. Any other worship other than the worship of Jehovah God, Jesus Christ being the only begotten Son of God, any other religion is Baal. Any sin that a person has in their lives, any sin that a family has under their roofs, any sin that a church has needs to be done away with. It has to go. Get rid of Baal. If you truly want Almighty God's blessings, if you truly want Almighty God's presence, you got to get rid of Baal. That's what Gideon stood for. That's what every child of God's needs to stand for. Gideon took the stand that every child needs to take, and that is get rid of Baal. While Israel was weighing on this, as far as they were listening to Joash tell them now that what you say makes sense. How come we haven't been doing this for the past 40 years? Why worship a God that we have to take care of him instead of worship a God that'll take care of us? And that's basically what they turned away from a God that had delivered them the promised land, who had continued to show himself faithful, who continued to show himself powerful. And they had turned away from God, the true God, and they started living a life looking with religion, because the religion of Baal was such an easier way to live. I could do whatever I want to do and still claim to have a relationship with God, still think in my mind that I'm going to go to heaven, had the blessings of worship. But they were all false worships. They were all false beliefs. They turned away from the true God, and they had turned to the worship of Baal. And so now we find that since Gideon took a stand, it impacted his home, and it was starting to impact his city, the men of the city who wanted him dead. And while they were trying to figure out just what to do with this stand that Gideon was taking, the real enemy shows up. The real enemy. In verse 33. Then. All this was taking place. This is within the family of Gideon and the children of God. And while they were trying to figure out, all right, now what are we going to do? Are we going to keep this altar of God and get back to worshiping God as the Word of God tells us to? Or are we going to kill Gideon and we're going to have the altars of Baal reestablished? And so they were pondering in their hearts and minds what they were going to do. And then God says, well, let me send you the real end. Let me send you the ones that you need to be focused on, is going to take away all of your joy. It's going to ravish the land, going to plunder the land, going to take away all your fruit, going to do everything that they had been doing for 7 years. It was harvest time. And for 7 years, they had been coming in and ravishing the land. Then, the Bible says, all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. The valley of Jezreel. If you study the Bible, you know that's a very popular place in biblical history. I was there when I was in Israel, got to view the valley of Jezreel. the Valley of Megiddo. It's one of the most fruitful spots in all of Israel. But it's also one of the great battlegrounds, with the town of Megiddo on the western side of the Valley of Jezreel. In Judges, in chapter 5, we find that Barak, the fifth judge, before Gideon would be the sixth judge. It's where Barak defeated the mighty armies of Sisera that had held Israel captive for so many years. When the people cried out to God, God gave them a deliverer. And this deliverer, Barak, had the very same battle about 40 years earlier, 47 years earlier, around 1500 BC. In chapter 5, we find this in chapter 5 of Judges, verse 19. Ghetto. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. And God delivered them into the hands of Barak. In 1 Samuel, we won't have time to take the time to go study it, but in 1 Samuel chapter 31, it's where King Saul was defeated by the Philistines because he had not got rid of the worship of Baal in his life. He had sin in his life, stubbornness, rebellion, and he lost the battle in Jezreel. 2 Kings chapter 9, we find it's where Jehu, the God anointed Jehu, he killed Joram, the king of Israel, who had turned against God. And at the very same time, right after that, he killed Ahaziah, the king of Judah, who had likewise turned against God. And it was also in the very same place that he killed Jezebel, in the very same valley. All of these are battles. All of these are those that had gotten rid of Baal, that were focused on God, they got the victory. Those that had Baal in their life, they lost the battles. But this is battlegrounds. This is the fight against the true enemy. In Revelation chapter 16, look there with me. Huh? I want to share this with you because this would be the next great battle. Revelation chapter 16. It's where the battle of Armageddon will take place. We'll be there. If you're saved, you'll be there. Because it has the end of the tribulation period. And Christ is returning with his bride, the church. And there's a great battle. Not much of a battle. Actually, Christ just destroys everybody. But it's a battle of Armageddon. In chapter 16 and verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And also I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These were all having their time in the end of the tribulation. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to that to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. It means you still got Baal in your life. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That's going to be in the very place that I walked, amen, in Israel. It's just a great thing to know. You're being in Israel, you're being where Christ walked himself, and one day will return with the bride and the battle. This is historical battlegrounds from the very beginning all the way through Armageddon. Yeah. The real enemy shows up. The real enemy shows up. Go back to Judges with me. That's why it's symbolic that they come to this Valley of Jezreel. They could have went anywhere else, but they knew this was the best, most fruitful spot in Israel. They wanted to raid that area first, and they would have done this for 7 years. But this year is different because God has raised up Gideon, who will unite the people of God and turn away from the Baal worship. When you turn away from Baal worship and you unite with the help that God has brought into your life, can I tell you, you're ready to battle the enemy. And you will defeat the enemy. If you have what God has for you, you will defeat the enemy in every area of your life. God's children unite. Verse 34, right after they show up, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. Now that's really something that once you understand it, you're going to rejoice, shout about. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Who do you think that is? The first ones to unite with Gideon, to acknowledge him as the deliverer that God has raised up, to help them to defeat the real enemy, because now the real enemy showed up. And now they're looking at the real enemy. Look back to verse 24. Chapter 6, verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That's his own city. That's the men that when he took the stand, when he went out against Baal worship and just following God's orders, and he did it by night so that he would use wisdom in doing it, so that he would not have to fight the battle with his neighbors. He did it at night. He tore down the altars of Baal and restored the altars of God and put a sacrifice on the altar. And the men of the city come out and they saw it and they said to his father, bring him out so that he might die for doing what he's done. That was just two verses ago. Now the real enemy shows up. When you get focused on the real enemy, you're going to be more apt to unite with the people that God has brought into your life to be of help to you. It's when Satan blinds you to who the real enemy is that we fight with one another. And we destroy one another. We allow Satan to come between us and we destroy our marriages and we destroy our families, we destroy our churches, we destroy our testimony in the world because we're not focused on who the real enemy is. When the real enemy showed up, and now they've seen that God is at work, have somebody to look to, that has taken a stand against Baal and is ready to lead Israel in victory over the Midianites. They were gathered after him. Who's him? Gideon. How things change. When you get a right focus, how things can change in your life. When you start understanding who the real enemy is, and then you realize who God has brought into your life, and you turn from looking at them as the enemy, and you start looking at the real enemy and say, I need help against the real enemy, and the help that I need is the very ones that Satan's trying to get me to fight against. Who is your enemy? Who are you upset with right now? Who is it that you can't stand to be around? Who is it that you're almost wishing something bad would happen to? Yeah. I guarantee you that Satan can. He'll blind you to the very ones that God wants to work in your life to be a help to you. Sometimes for young people, they think it's their parents. Sometimes for a wife, she thinks it's her husband. Sometimes the husband thinks it was his wife. Sometimes the church member thinking it's the church or the pastor or another church member. And you take up arms against them. You don't realize the real enemy's showing up. Whether you see him or not, the real enemy's showing up. Yeah. The first to unite with Gideon are the ones who wanted him dead the day before. And now their change of mind, looking to him as the one who's going to lead us to victory. Yeah, amen. They gathered after him. Verse 35, not only did they gather after him, but verse 35 it says, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. Because of their testimony and their acknowledging that Gideon out of our city is going to lead us against the Midianites. He has already taken a stand. He's tore down the altars of Baal. He's restored the altars of God. He's going to lead us to victory over the enemy because the enemy showed up. We see who the enemy is now, and now we have the one that will lead us to help us to overcome the enemy. And not only Manasseh, he sent messengers unto Asher and to Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them in support of Gideon. All agreed on the one God chose. God united them to stand against the real enemy. An application. That's the story. I mean, right there. Now it's up to Gideon to get himself where he needs to be the leader. And we're going to study that next Wednesday as he has to have his faith increased. But all the other people now, they see the real enemy and they're behind Gideon. And now they're somewhat exalting him and he's thinking, uh-oh, what have I done? Now I'm the pastor? Now I'm the one that's supposed to... guide the flock. I'm the one that's supposed to feed the flock. I'm the one that's supposed to, I'm the Sunday school teacher. It was so much easier when I sat underneath somebody else teaching the Word of God. I could come to Sunday school and just sit down and just enjoy. Now Brother Brian's not the teacher of my Sunday school class anymore. I've been called out to serve. What have I done? Now I've got to be around all the young people and all the teenagers and have to deal with all that. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. God has prepared you, and now it's time for you to step out and to be the leader and to be the example and be the one that God wants to work through to lead the next class. To impact the next group of people coming in, to impact that Sunday school class, whatever it might be. Yeah. 2019, it's the day that we're living in, 21st century. Who do you think's the real enemy? What is the enemy using today? What is his devices? Are we supporting the devices of the enemy? Or can we see what they are? We can understand who the real enemy is and what devices he's using and stand against them to serve the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians in chapter 2. God has very clearly revealed to us who the real enemy is. Can I tell you, it's definitely not the church. It is not your spouse. It is not any other individual. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan, he's the adversary. He's the one that's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's the archangel that was cast out of heaven, that was cast to this earth with the demons that are following him that we're going to eventually get into in our study of angelology as we get into demonology as well on Sunday nights. We need to understand he's the enemy. It's a spiritual influence in this world that we're living in. The people don't even realize that when they yield to certain sins, they are yielding to a spirit of evil. They're yielding to a device that Satan has set up to blind the minds of humanity to who the real enemy is. Can I tell you, the world, they're so blinded, they think the church of Jesus Christ is the real enemy. I was out in public, and I was at a certain place, and I heard some people talking in front of me, and this one man was almost in tears, and this was back after right after the election. They still haven't gotten over the election, but right after the election, he was in tears. He says, it's all that evangelistic group, it's that crowd, they're the ones that got Donald Trump elected, and they kept Hillary Clinton from being our next president. And they were crying over it. And I'm thinking, amen. Yeah. Why? Because I'm looking at the devices and what they stand for. Take the person out of it. The person's really not the enemy. It's what they're standing for. That they are the devices that Satan is using today. And anybody in support of a device that Satan is using today is not my friend. They're not helping me. They are being used of the devil. They're still not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. But what they're standing for, I am against. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What's he using to control the minds of humanity today and even hinder the gospel of Christ being presented? There's a lot of them. Just the idea of thinking it's not politically correct to tell somebody what the Bible says is truth. I can do that with a love for the person, but a hatred and despise for the sin. Because I understand it's a device that Satan is using to be able to blind the minds of humanity in such ways that we're seeing today that we thought would never come to pass. It is coming to pass before our very eyes. The devices that the devil is using, the world is welcoming them and justifying. They're not preaching abstinence, and they haven't for years and years. They're just presenting, make sure it's safe, and make sure you do this, make sure you do that. They're not teaching what the Bible reveals to us as a morality that God has established. We got to be able to stay focused on who the enemy is and the devices that he is using. And we got to stand against. And we have to unite through Christ and the Word of God to stand against the enemy and his devices. Yeah. The devil is going to come against us in many different levels. One of the levels that he comes against us is through temptation. Temptation of the flesh and temptations to unite with the ways of the world. Don't attack a Gideon that's trying to help you to overcome temptation. that might come to you and say, you know, that's wrong. You're not thinking clearly here. You're not looking to the Bible to determine the life that you're living, whether it's right or wrong. You're listening to people that are not biblically correct. Just because a church will tell you that this lifestyle is acceptable unto God does not mean that it's acceptable unto God. If it's opposite the Word of God, it is not acceptable unto God. And we better not support that device, because it's attached to the enemy. And a supporting of that device, a condoning of that device, is a support of the enemy. We need to support the Gideons in this 21st century. Praise the Lord for every church member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, because you are supporting a biblical ministry that lets its light shine. If you don't do anything else, and I believe you should, and I believe you could, but if you don't do anything else but just support this ministry, you are at least taking a stand with Gideon. In the 21st century, Gideon, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has raised up the church to stand against Baal, to stand against the real enemy. Don't look at the church as being an enemy just because the preacher preaches against your sin. You're getting too personal now, preacher. No, if I'm preaching the Bible, no, I'm not getting too personal. If I'm preaching what thus saith the Lord, I'm giving you what you have need of in order to have the blessings of God in your life. You got to get rid of Baal to be able to have the presence of God in your life. Because Satan's going to come at you through temptation. And he'll try to get you to make an enemy out of those that God has sent in your life to help you. Yeah. He also comes to us in different levels. He'll come through us not only through temptation of the flesh and accepting the ways of the world, but he'll come against us through trials and tragedies. God has to allow it. Breakups. Something that's out of your control, but you have somebody that decides that they don't want to be married anymore. Somehow they've listened to an enemy, and they've got their sights on something other than the will of God. And that leaves you. Yeah. Trials and tragedies. Sometimes it's a health issue. You have cancer. It's different when you pray for others that have cancer, but when you hear the words from your doctor saying you have cancer, it's quite a bit different. You lose your job. You don't have the money to pay the bills. No, devil's right there saying, if there is a true God, why would he let this happen to you? If you're not careful, you'll lose sight of who the real enemy is. See, the question to ask yourself when we're coming up against the enemy's devices: who has God brought into my life that I need to unite with? Because God will always give you what you have need of to overcome the enemy if you are aware of what God has brought into your life. We pray every Wednesday night for those that have certain battles that they're fighting with. And I pray, God, increase their faith so they'll be able to find the grace. God's grace is always available no matter what you're battling, But you'll never find God's grace unless you look to God as your help in time of need. Amen. And Satan would try to blind you and make God an enemy and make the church an enemy and to make that Christian friend an enemy. And you'll never find the grace to help. But through that, if you will look to God and increase your faith, you'll find grace. You'll find grace to battle the true enemy and all of his devices. When the real enemy shows up, we had better have enough spiritual insight to recognize it and unite with that help that God has brought into our lives. What a turnaround for Gideon. It can be a turnaround for us. The day before, Gideon's back there in his father's house and he sees the mob coming down the road. Joash, send Gideon out because we want to kill him. Possibly the very next day, when the true enemy shows up and they acknowledge the true enemy, they want to lift Gideon up and come after him and say, you're the next deliverer. Deliver us from the real enemy. Yeah. See, if we could get our eyes focused on the right things, things could have a turnaround overnight in what you're battling when you understand the help that God has for you. Yeah. When the real enemy shows up, we had better acknowledge it and turn to the help that God's brought into our lives. And if you turn to his help, we are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. Amen. I gave every head bowed. What a great biblical principle. What a great truth. Stop thinking that person is your enemy. And unite with those that God has brought into your life to face the real enemy. Right now is an invitational time. We're not going to have a musical invitation on Wednesday nights, but there's always an invitation after the Word of God has been presented. If God spoke to you tonight, there's a decision that you need to make. Bring it to the altar. Or make it there in your pew, but make sure that you acknowledge to God what he has said to you and presented to you. And follow through with whatever it is that you are led to do. Are you focused on the real enemy? Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for this biblical principle in the life of Gideon and how we can apply it to our lives in this 21st century. We face battles all around us. It's so important that we make sure that we know who the enemy is and the devices that he's using and stay united on the things that you've given to us. Bless as we get ready to dismiss tonight. Pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.